Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
I have a confession to make.
You have a confession? Okay.
Do you remember recently, maybe like, was it 2 weeks ago, where you had to confess that we were heading into the week of Night of Champions and you did not know it?
Yes.
You thought it was later? Yes. And I was like, berated you and belittled you?
No, well, that was SummerSlam.
Was that SummerSlam?
Because I thought SummerSlam was coming up, like, that very next Sunday, but it wasn't.
Okay. I did not know Battleground was this week.
Yeah, it just seems like they're kind of just half-caring, really, about the overall pay-per-view.
They must have a contract that they need to have 12 in a year.
Yeah. I guess so,
or something with the shareholders, or...
Probably.
I mean, I'm sure that is. I'm not spouting conspiracy theory here.
That's not an
outrageous thing.
No. Yeah, it just seems like they're kind of just trudging into this pay-per-view.
It was...
With a, you know, somewhat put-together card, knowing that there's going to be another pay-per-view in 3 weeks.
Yeah, one of their big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. Bigger ones. But, yeah, it was watching Raw this week, and, like, in the background on the diner, I was like, you know, Battleground this Sunday, as somebody walked by, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I guess that means we have a card to deal with.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's...
Before we get into that, was there anything from Raw you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm good.
They want to talk about the greatness of Los Matadores?
Fine. Just talk about Los Matadores. It's fine.
I don't know.
It wasn't a gimmick that I was jumping at the bit to see.
I think the one thing that bothered me the most was how their music just kicked into this weird, like, little funk jazz band.
I think what I really think, watching it, is they know they accidentally killed Fandangoing. They know they pushed it too hard, and they whoopsed, and they messed up, and now Fandangoing's not what it could have been, because they pushed it too hard. So they're trying to get Ole to be the new Fandangoing.
Yeah, I mean, because fans are going to do the whole Ole chance anyway, especially knowing that Generico is in, you know, the roster now.
Yeah.
So, I guess it was them trying to be like, oh no, the fans are, this is why they're doing the Ole chants, right? Yeah? Yeah?
I mean, it's clear, it's like, you know, they saw the Fandangoing that night after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And like, oh, we need that again. That's the, you know, so
right.
What,
so this
what
is
can
them
we...
trying to play into that.
Yeah.
Trying to be like, oh yeah, we can, let's do that again.
Yeah, they want that, and so hopefully they won't push this too far.
I don't know, I think we're going to get basically a repeat of what we saw this past Monday. Have that for the next 2 months straight. Put them in like a half thought out, you know, program with some team or whatever.
Yeah.
And it not really go anywhere, and then go back to them just randomly facing people. Much like Brodus Clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fine. Well,
that's their template right now. It's a very bad template that needs to be broken.
We'll make the obvious prediction, won't we?
Yes. That's, I mean, as much as I like Primo and Epico, and I think their rework is fantastic, and it still is. They were impressive in the ring. This gimmick is horrible.
See, when you said you thought their ring work was fantastic, I thought you said their rework. As in, you're about to fully endorse this reworking of their characters.
No, I in no way endorse anything about Los Matadores outside of the ring.
All right. Even
their mascot guy has moves, and I won't deny him that. But the fact that he's coming out dressed up as a little bull, no bueno.
I honestly gotta say, I really don't care. It feels very, like, 10-15-ish, like, oh,
yeah,
the important stuff's over, we kind of gotta wait for the main event, like, it feels filler, so.
It feels like something that would frequent SmackDown.
Yes.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually a really, totally fair point.
Yeah. Speaking of SmackDown.
Yeah, I was like, you transitioned.
No, I really didn't. That just now came to me.
Okay.
I'm just that brilliant. So.
If you were brilliant, you would have had it planned out.
Shut up. So, on SmackDown, we had,
the most illegal thing in wrestling.
I don't know. It wasn't illegal. But, it wasn't, how do you say, good. Santino was going for a Cobra. Mm-hmm. And then Jinder Mahal pops up with a little flute and started trying to, what do you call it? Tame the snake. Charm the snake, yeah.
Charm the snake.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. He started doing that, and so, of course, was charming the snake while Great Khali came up on the other side with a flute and started doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, no. Just no. No.
Why not?
Because bad.
Why?
Because not good.
No, come on, no, really. What is so bad about this segment?
Bugs the crap out of me that they have the two Indian wrestlers snake charming.
Okay.
A dude's arm.
Okay. This is SmackDown.
I know. No.
Are you upset that they have tarnished the reputation of the Great Khali as a character?
No. Basically, I'm using this to.
Are you upset that they have sullied the great name of 3MB?
Can I put him
into a comedy bit?
I'm gonna go all Fox News on you here and be like, "Can I finish? Okay, can I finish? Okay.
Are you upset that
can I finish?
Go ahead.
No, this basically serves as an example that I will forever point to for anyone who tries to berate me for not watching SmackDown. I mean, yeah, fine. It's fine for SmackDown. SmackDown is not for me.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
That I mean, and that's not really a problem. It's like on Saturday Morning Slam, they wrestle differently.
Yeah.
That's when Daniel Bryan, like, curled up in a ball.
Okay, but to be fair, that was awesome.
Okay, that was awesome. But
that is not something you would see on Raw.
If you saw that in the main event on Raw, people would be livid.
I don't think they would be, because it's Daniel Bryan.
It's Daniel Bryan now.
And it's legitimately funny.
If they had this happen, like, if they'd had the little ball thing happen, like, pre-18 seconds, like, time, when Daniel Bryan wasn't as fully over as he is now, there would be people upset that a comedy bit was happening prominently on Raw.
I still don't think, no.
I fully believe that.
I think even back then, people would be looking through their Daniel Bryan rose-colored glasses and would think that would be the funniest and greatest thing ever.
No.
Much like they did when it happened.
No, when it happened, because that's because it happened on Saturday Morning Slam. You didn't see it happen. You saw it in GIF form.
True.
Because you don't watch Saturday Morning Slam. Because Saturday Morning Slam is very much catered towards children.
And plus, I work on Saturdays.
But it's... You know what I mean.
I know. I
see this as a very positive move.
Yes?
Because SmackDown is doing something different. It's not just sad Raw.
Okay.
Carry on, wayward son.
Not in favor.
Okay.
not in favor of the snake charming bit.
Okay.
That also featured Hornswoggle.
Okay, fair enough. But it's all the comedy guys in the little comedy corner. Nobody in there is at risk of being the next WWE champion.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nobody.
I know.
I think you're going to think it's the best shot, Natalya. Wasn't she in that?
No.
Oh, no, is she not with them anymore?
No, not really.
Okay, good for her.
I mean, she might be, she just wasn't there.
Yeah.
That I saw.
I don't know.
It was just 3MB and Dose.
I mean, let's be totally fair, I didn't watch SmackDown.
No, neither did I.
But
I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, this is my new go-to example for people who are like, oh yeah, you should totally watch SmackDown. I was like, maybe we don't have, my best interest in mind for that suggestion.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
I'm not defending SmackDown. I want that to be very clear and on the record. I don't know.
Okay.
Carry on.
I'm good.
All
right. That's pretty much all I wanted to cover.
Okay.
Big Show had crazy eyes on Raw.
Big Show did have crazy eyes. Big Show's kind of, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this Big Show plan.
Me neither. I haven't figured that out, and I've had no way of gauging that for the past couple weeks.
I don't know. And you know what? Honestly, though, I'm gonna actually throw them a bone here. This is something I'm okay with watching play out.
Yeah.
Like, Big Show has gotten more angry or frustrated or upset with each passing week. There is some growth to a point, to a boiling point, which was almost this week, and, you know, but whatever. But it still feels like it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's, as long as that happens, and this is a blanket statement, as long as it feels like it's going somewhere, I'm okay with it. I think.
Yeah. As long as there's some sort of end game.
Yeah.
Which is, seems rarer and rarer.
Yes.
You know.
But. Well, that's the problem. You mean, you do the, like, the Ryback forever squashing local talent thing. Like, it got to the point where it didn't feel like it was going anywhere. So that's when I stopped caring. And then 6 months later,
yeah,
he actually, you know, faced CM Punk. And then it's like, okay, now I can actually care about this character again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so this Big Show thing is going somewhere.
Where it is, we don't know. But as long as he gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
In a reasonable amount of time.
Yes.
Yes. So from there, let's just go ahead and dive into the Battleground
card.
Hooray! Starting with the kickoff, Damian Sandow versus Dolph Ziggler. Joel,
would you like to go ahead and put out your little guess and stuff so I can rage?
Okay,
uninterrupted.
I'll give it 4 mats because it's Ziggler, and I'm assuming Ziggler's gonna win.
Ziggler needs to destroy Sandow
quickly.
I love Sandow. But Ziggler needs to, in no way, shape, or form, ever appear to be at risk of losing this match.
Yes.
This is not okay.
No, it's not. Especially considering he gets a really good response from the crowds.
He gets a great response. I mean, I don't know, you know, if something happened backstage that I don't know about and can't be privy to, and there is genuine reason for this to happen. But I don't know about it, so...
Right. If Dolph Ziggler's not exactly in the limelight right now because they're planning on something else very soon, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Yeah, no. But the response that he gets and the consistent ability... That's the thing that really, really frustrates me. Mm-hmm. It's not like he sometimes does a good match.
Right.
It's not like he's problematic, but when he's good, he's good. Sin Cara, when he's good, he's good. It's just very few and far between.
Yes.
So I can totally be fine with Sin Cara opening up and being on your pre-show. Dolph Ziggler consistently puts on a fantastic match, regardless of opponent or time length, which is not something many people can do.
No, not at all.
And that's why he should not be starting your match! Guys, I'm confused. Like, I'm honestly, genuinely, I don't need him in the title scene. I want him in the title scene because that's defaultably a thing for him to do that is, you know, at the
feels
end of
like
the card
it's something important that he needs to accomplish first.
Yes.
Yes.
But he needs to be in feuds, in matches, in things that highlight what Dolph Ziggler can do best. And gets people on their feet. Like, he is not your calm down match.
No.
He is not your started off match. He's not your dark match.
No.
You know? If he was opening the show, if he was... I could even see that. I could be okay with that. He's the thing to kick off...
The actual show.
Yeah, the actual show.
But not the one that they're giving away for free.
Right.
Okay.
He's not that guy. He's... And that's the thing, is, like... Dolph Ziggler should be getting 20 minutes consistently. Because he can fill 20 minutes. And he can fill 20 minutes against a broom.
Yes.
And you put him against, you know, guys who pull out great stuff. I really need Dolph Ziggler versus CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler versus John Cena and Dolph Ziggler versus anybody on that end of the spectrum. Those are the guys he should be consistently feuding with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what or how or why. If you need to make him a heel again, I'm not wild about that. But if that will put him
where he needs to be.
Where he needs to be. If it's too face heavy right now up top and you can't find room for him, you need to do something to get him on the TV more.
Yeah.
Because his sheer in-ring talent is arguably unparalleled by anybody else on the roster.
His particular type of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and you can argue which style you like better and blah, blah, blah. But what he does is unparalleled by anybody else. And to not have a significant chunk of your programming dedicated to that is problematic.
Yes. I agree.
So fix it!
Okay. Do you want to pick? Or yeah, I guess you did pick the winner. Ziggler just
crushing. I think Sandow has a chance. No. Ziggler's my pick.
Okay. On to the actual show. We have the Divas Championship match. AJ versus Brie Bella.
Brie's the one with Daniel Bryan, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just had to make sure.
Yes.
No,
from now on, the one wrestling is Brie, the one with
Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
The one who can't wrestle anymore, or we assume can't wrestle anymore, is Nikki, the one with Cena.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna go AJ.
Under normal circumstances, yeah, I would say AJ Lee just, you know, rolls completely through.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. We got Total Divas coming back in November.
In November.
We have this big involvement of Brie and Daniel Bryan's engagement on this past Raw. Like, they really made it a thing.
Yeah.
I think we have an opportunity here. Or I think WWE has an opportunity here for basically give Brie almost the same treatment they gave Daniel Bryan when he won the WWE Championship. You know, like, oh, we don't really want you. We'd rather have AJ or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And then kind of involve
this couple against the world kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
And even if they don't even go that route, if they just go with a straight up and down feud between these two, you know, you instantly have a story with AJ's past with Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely.
Instantly.
Absolutely.
So you could start an interesting feud right here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would kind of single Brie out a little bit, which is probably something good if she wants to continue her own single career, you know, because she's not really going to have her sister in the ring anymore.
Right.
So this would be a kind of a way to establish her on her own.
Well, I mean, and so my thought was that because they did focus on Brie and Daniel Bryan, if she's starting to dip her toes into this, you know, attaching herself to Daniel Bryan aspect.
Right.
Which would move her away.
Which is something they really didn't do until the past couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had the same reasoning but came to different conclusions.
Yeah.
And it's something like, you know, I honestly, the stuff with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton is clearly the thing they're going to focus more on, the thing everybody's more invested in, but does have a little bit of effect on the Divas Championship storyline.
Right.
So, I'm going to stick with AJ just because I think they're really pushing this as far as, you know, she's a champion that people get excited about.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely not, you know, not in a tolerating kind of way, but in a genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to stick with AJ as champion, but I could totally see Brie taking it.
Yeah. Or how would it be? How interesting would it be if AJ did win, but we had some sort of corporation kind of shenanigans go down to put the belt on Brie because Brie's the one that they want. Give her the treatment that they're giving Randy Orton, you know, but on the Divas. So you have Brie's, you know, kind of inner struggle. of
they're being
getting this favorable treatment while Daniel's getting the shaft.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be interested in that too. There's an easy storyline to be like, this is why they want Brie to be champion. She's on Total Divas,
right? Black Cross Mercy. Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, my scenario, it would be good and all, but it really wouldn't make sense because Brie seems like, you know, you're more stereotypical Divas champion that they're going to push.
Well, in that case, the quote unquote AJ pipe bomb thing from a few weeks ago would go much better next Monday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, that makes all kinds of sense.
Then it would make sense. Yeah. Then it would be somewhat justified.
So.
But I just, I think, especially because, you know, Brie's going to get somewhat of a face, you know, reaction right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be an interesting way to kind of throw another wrench in that whole story.
I mean, it's honestly, it's a kind of thing where, as always with the Divas, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't care what's going to happen.
Right.
But I'm not dreading it.
No, not at all.
I am perfectly fine sitting and watching and going along for the ride in this case. So, rock on to you, I guess. Like,
I'm gonna say Brie, I'm going to give it 3 maths.
3 maths.
Being generous with the Divas. Right.
Apparently so. Next.
Let's go with the World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam in a hardcore match.
So there's rumors that Rob Van Dam might be taking some time off.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not for injury or anything, just for, like, the way his contract is.
Right. I mean, and we kind of figured that's what his contract would look like.
Yeah.
They're just kind of bunched it all up here.
So I guess I'll stick with Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, little bits of it is because I want Ziggler to, go and be in that spot.
Right.
But really, because they're doing a hardcore match, and don't you guys remember that Rob Van Dam was in ECW, and they've been to the hardcore match, and this is his territory, and he's the face, so clearly he's coming in, it's a match that he wants, and it's really big setup for pitfall and failure on Van Damme's part.
Ah. I'm thinking that Rob Van Dam's going to win. And at the behest of the corporation, they have Damian Sandow cash in.
You're just sticking the corporation to everything here, aren't you?
Freaking might as well. You know? Might as well start involving the World Heavyweight Championship in this. It's like, yeah, they want their champion for WWE, and they seem like they're okay with Alberto Del Rio, but what will happen if Del Rio doesn't have the belt anymore?
Yeah. You know? I mean, the other thing is, honestly, and this is the case with all of these,
it just seems like a hardcore match. You know, both guys are going to get beat up pretty well, so
this is the time to cash.
This will be the time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with
whether or not there's corporation involvement, that's fine. That's just me throwing my own little
So track. I'm going Del Rio, and you're going Sandow. So
I'm going Van Dam winning, then Sandow cashing in.
Okay, so
they're not going to have someone cash in again on Del Rio.
No. Honestly, let's say, all these titles are going to be defended in, like, 2 or 3 weeks again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to really, you know, talk about why this should happen because of lasting impact for blah de blah de blah.
Yeah. So when we're just going to basically get the same card in a few weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'll go Del Rio, but I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to get 3.5 maths for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, yeah, Del Rio is not going to put on a bad match right now. He's doing very well in the ring. Rob Van Dam, he's doing also very well in the ring. Hardcore match. There's going to be some shenanigans and some interesting stuff there.
Nice spots.
Right. So, it's not going to be a bad match. It's just that we don't care. And, you know, it's a hardcore match, and Ricardo Rodriguez is probably going to be there. He's probably going to take a nice little bump, and we'll sing his praises probably next podcast.
Yeah, Ricardo.
That's really my one...
Honestly, yeah.
That's the one thing I'm looking forward to. Like, what is Ricardo going to do?
That's worth at least a math and a half. So.
Yeah, I'll stick with 3.5.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I was counting that in. And we have the Goldust and Cody Rhodes versus The Shield. Winner basically gets a job.
God, I'm upset about this, man.
Why are you upset about this?
I'm really upset about this match.
Why?
Because, you know what this match should have been? I got a business proposition for you. Thing happens. They come up, and he says, we have a slot. So, at Battleground, it's going to be Cody Rhodes versus Goldust. Winner gets the job.
That would have been good.
There's a lot more evil on the corporation's part. Mm-hmm. It's a much more heelish thing. It's a much cleverer thing. It's something that we have not seen happen as much of you, the good guy, go against my bad guy avatar in the ring, which you get all the time. We would have gotten the Goldust Cody Rhodes match that we've never ever gotten and I've always wanted.
Yeah.
There can be so much more drama in this, I don't want to hurt you, but we're both looking for this job kind of thing.
But also in that thing, you would think, since Goldust was willing to go and pretty much put himself in the line of fire against Randy Orton for Cody, wouldn't you just think Gold, like, by that thinking, Goldust would probably just lay down and let Cody take the job. Just by that. They would have to add in some sort of stipulation or incentive for Goldust not to lay down. Like, they would have to set up some sort of storyline where Goldust is basically in a Big Show type financial situation.
So they should have added that in!
They should
have.
Yeah. They should have.
The match was, like, right there perfect. If they were getting Goldust back, if they were doing this thing with Cody Rhodes.
And they had already did that thing with Dusty where he could choose between his two kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right there. Everything.
Yeah. And let's completely ignore the fact that the Usos got their number one contendership, like, 2 weeks ago. God. We're just going to put that off again.
Yeah, that
would have been another match on the card.
Exactly. And it's like you spend hours and hours and hours setting up dominoes carefully to do this beautiful, beautiful thing. You're going to knock them down in this perfect pattern. And you sweat and you slave over to make this perfect domino thing. And then you go read a book. It's a nice book. And you're like, what about the dominoes?
Okay, I don't see.
I'm saying everything is set up for Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
Okay,
to go to a feud. It's right there.
But what about
how did they miss it?
How does the dominoes thing work?
They just set them up,
and what do you like?
Nothing.
Oh, you don't. You don't set off the reaction.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm with you. Okay. So instead of actually like going forward with what you have set up,
the thing you're clearly supposed to do. You set all the dominoes up, and then you one by one put them back in the box.
Okay.
Well, that was fun! Dominoes, hurrah! No. And so because of that, I cannot get excited about this match.
Okay. But
which is
this is the matches we've got. So this is what we have to work with, Joel. Okay. Put on your go get 'em hat and make a pick.
I mean, Goldust and Cody Rhodes.
All right.
And probably through shenanigans.
Well, you know what? Because I keep thinking there's going to be some sort of shenanigans with this whole Cody Rhodes thing. But if you think about it, there's been no shenanigans at all.
Yeah.
In the Cody Rhodes versus Randy, no interference, no nothing. Straight up and down match. Mm-hmm. Goldust and Randy Orton, we thought, you know, it's going to be something to cost Goldust match. No, it was a straight up and down match. You know? Dusty got punched in the face, but that was after he rejected it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if this was just a straight up and down match. If it's a straight up and down match, Shield's probably gonna win. You know?
I mean, the thing is that, honestly, and they said it on Monday, that this is honestly the fourth chance for Cody Rhodes to get his job back.
Yes.
And, you know, as much as a he's a face and I'm rooting for him thing, I still kind of feel you only get so many chances.
Yeah. And I feel like, this whole story is still pretty hot.
Yeah.
So they need to go ahead and cash in on this.
Well, that's the thing. It's still hot. To continue to justify.
They could stretch it out to a Hell in a Cell. They probably could maintain it. I don't know if they should take that risk. Because there's a chance that this thing will kind of, like, fizzle out.
Yeah.
For the fans.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, to continue to justify rematches and stuff, some sort of shenanigans need to happen.
Right.
And that's the thing, because Cody lost clean and then Goldust lost clean, it's like, here was the deal. You didn't, you know, do what you need to do. There you go. Sorry. Nice try. But no. So that's why if Cody and Goldust win through shenanigans, your Shield doesn't come off looking necessarily weak. Triple H can be angry and still can be like, you know, yes, you technically did it, and I'm forced to be a man of my word, but, you know, you didn't really win it back, and you'll have to prove yourself again at Hell in a Cell.
Mm.
So he's still technically with the company, and then when he's with the company, he's technically under Triple H's mercy, and so the SmackDown before Triple H will have him go in some sort of gauntlet match against the Shield. Blah, 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 blah.
Or, through some shenanigans, Shield wins.
Okay.
They win, they don't win cleanly, but they win with shenanigans. Then, like, next couple weeks or so, or maybe the next night, or I don't know, Cody Rhodes comes in with the soaked and messed up Money in the Bank briefcase and cashes in, mm-hmm. and wins the belt and basically gets his job back like that.
Yeah, and
there's that.
We've discussed that before. Yeah. That's
I still think that would be fun.
That'd be great. That's my, like, honest,
my A storyline when I pitched it. I was like,
yeah,
that's kind of an out of nowhere thing, and it's the right briefcase.
It is the correct briefcase. It's not the Hershey chocolate briefcase.
Yeah.
Although that briefcase is very nice. It's very distinguished looking.
Sure.
Okay. we have the CM Punk and Ryback match.
Yes.
Yes. So, here's the thing. CM Punk is pretty much... He's got the basically the short end of the stick in the past three pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got the ladder to the head by Heyman and Money in the Bank. He got, you know, he met a giant brick wall named Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. And, you know, he got screwed over by Ryback and got beat by Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get to the point where I'm like, okay, well, they CM Punk probably could use a win.
Yeah.
You know, here soon. And why not win against the guy who has a really terrible pay-per-view record?
Yeah. Here's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk was champion 434.
Yes.
He's not going to be champion that long again. Nobody's going to be champion that long again for a long time.
Yeah.
But CM Punk will never break his own record.
Yeah.
CM Punk got his match against The Undertaker. So on that, you know, checklist of things to do in the company, CM Punk is coming close to the end of it.
Yes.
So there is a little bit of what do you do with CM Punk?
Yeah, and you have your running thing. Like, we only have so many pay-per-views with Punk already, so yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, one thing to do is to basically Chris Jericho CM Punk, where he's there to get over the smaller guys.
Right.
And it's kind of what he's doing. You know, he's in a match with Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
With Ryback. He was on with Big E this week. And he won those matches, but he looked good, and the guys he was facing looked good doing that. And so, you know, that's an option, and I don't know if it's an option that they're consciously, you know, executing right now with CM Punk. Not 100% sure how I feel about that, because I've a personal little heart's a flutter for CM Punk and want him to, you know, be champion again / main event WrestleMania, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, a part of me is thinking that, they're probably not going to give that big CM Punk win until, you know, he finally, you know, beats Brock Lesnar in whatever rematch they have, which we're hoping for. We're hoping we get that, you know, somewhat soon. I'm still kind of holding out hope for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
Yeah.
I don't quite want to wait till WrestleMania. I want it now, please.
Well, honestly, this is a kind of feud, because the feud happens every week. It's CM Punk and Heyman every week, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if I can deal with that until WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as much as we love it...
As much as, like...
But...
That's perfect and everything I dreamed of.
Yeah, you don't want to flood the market with it.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what they're doing.
Exactly.
And, you know, they can only escalate it so high.
Yeah. Also, last year at Hell in a Cell, CM Punk and Ryback had a match.
Yes, they did.
And as cool as I was with Punk and Ryback feud while everybody else was kind of, you know, oh, we've already seen this. Something about it being at Hell in a Cell again will feel very tready water to me.
Yeah.
Especially because it won't be the main event on the card. So, I really...
It shows you at what levels Ryback is at now, too. Mm-hmm. Like, because you remember the closing moments at Hell in a Cell and how crazy over he was with the fans, like, standing on top of that cage mm-hmm. and people just yelling on the top of their freaking lungs, like... And now it's just... he's turned heel and everything, but no one could really care less.
Yeah. I kind of need CM Punk to win.
Yeah.
I kind of need him to win here. Do something at Hell in a Cell, and then yeah, Brock at Survivor Series would be my ideal thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, and here's the thing that I'm concerned about, and this is a very in the long run looking to the future, CM Punk eventually taking the victory in this feud. I don't need to see CM Punk beat up and humiliate Paul Heyman. Like,
yeah.
Taking a good go to sleep is fine, you know, giving him a good sock to the jaw is fine. I don't need that, like, really, really extended humiliate him in the ring thing that WWE is so fond of.
Yeah, in which they would love to see that happen to Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm. So, and when CM Punk and Brock Lesnar happens again, as it will in my dreams, and CM Punk wins, I need him to be close to dead.
Yeah.
And not able to beat up Paul Heyman on account of his close to deadness.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where the beating up of Paul Heyman will happen.
I'm thinking Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Hell in a Cell is where he really kind of gets that over Paul. And then that's probably maybe like the next night or at Raw or something. That's when Ryback, or not Ryback, I'm sorry. That's when Brock Lesnar comes out to avenge Paul. That'll lead to SummerSlam. Or Survivor Series.
Yeah, see, I could be okay with that. I could be okay with... I could even be okay with Punk losing whatever at... Hell in a Cell on account of a Brock Lesnar interference.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, that's what I need, and I want CM Punk to win this one, because I don't really care about Ryback right now.
No, not at all.
And, like, you know, that's the thing, is, like, this is important to, like, help build these guys, Curtis Axel and Ryback and stuff. And I understand that, and I feel like if I was pitching this, I'd be really behind it.
Yes.
And this doesn't sound like something way off base from what I feel like I would pitch in some sort of armchair booking.
Yeah.
But it's happening in front of me, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Because, like, I really can't blame them. It feels like they've done everything right, and it's just not working for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think it's just us coming off that high from Brock and just... It's still going with other people, and it just feels so lessened by comparison. But, I mean, everything would feel lessened by comparison, so...
Yeah.
I think that's what is behind all of this.
Yeah.
With us, and our withdrawals.
Maybe. I don't know. All right.
But I'll give it a... well, it's hard not... It's hard to give a Punk match anything less than 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it 4.
Okay.
4 maths... I'm gonna go ahead and say, yeah, CM Punk wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for CM Punk.
And finally, we have the WWE Championship match, between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
That's really interesting.
Yes. It is going to be an interesting match. A match I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Bryan has cleanly beaten Orton a couple times.
Okay, let's be fair. When?
Okay, it wasn't very clean, but the last pay-per-view, yes.
The last pay-per-view, it was genuinely a fast count.
Yes. Like, and some that was like before his really big, or well, during his really big run was whenever he, like, what really kicked it off was Daniel Bryan finally beating Randy Orton, like, Monday Night Raws, like, months ago.
Yeah, so they, I mean, they faced each other a long time ago, and both mm-hmm. have had some victories. But in this feud,
yes.
nobody has cleanly beaten the other one.
No.
Daniel Bryan, or...
And Randy Orton certainly has not pinned Daniel Bryan at all.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, he pinned him for
Well, yeah, but...
With the catching in.
Yeah, but he didn't even RKO.
No.
Him. He just pinned him.
He did, because of the pedigree.
The superpowers of the pedigree.
Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, that's really...
I'm assuming that there's going to be some sort of... thing that happens so where Randy Orton gets the pin, gets the championship, and then I'm thinking the next night on Raw, that's when Daniel Bryan finally shows up and he's like, hey, I have very solid proof that links the whole fast count thing to Randy Orton and Triple H or one or the other or something like that.
Yeah. You know?
And that'll set up moving forward.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this match.
Yes.
I'm talking about, you know, how could they, you know, da-da-da-da with, you know, last time there was no champion. They had to get a new championship right now. Yes. But this time, like, no, just have Vankit championship for a while.
Yeah, get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, so that's, there's inconsistency there. But I like that nobody's champion here. I like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different feel. Nobody's defending their championship. It's two guys going to
feel like this should be a ladder match?
Because they're trying to get the belt?
Right. It's a vacant title. Wouldn't a ladder match make perfect sense right here?
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
So we don't have, you know, the umpteenth regular match?
Second?
Yeah.
Second regular match?
No, I mean, like...
Oh, you mean on the card. I thought you meant in this feud.
No, on the card. No. On the card. Like, other than the hardcore match, everything else is a straight up-and-down match.
That's true.
And it's Battleground. Do something different. I know they like to save TLCs for, you know, Extreme Rules and TLC and everything, but come on.
TLC's coming up. I like TLC.
TLC is coming up, and I do enjoy it. But come on.
No, I'll give you a come on. That's not a bad complaint.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had a submission match in a while. Let's have a submission match.
Well, that's the thing. It's two guys who feel genuinely, they've built them up, so they feel genuinely mm-hmm. like challenges for each other. Neither one has won cleanly over the other one yet. Mm-hmm. There's genuine bloody blah happening there. I'm honestly like, I feel like you could throw a little bit more frosting on this, you know, cake here and be like, yeah, this is...
Which is, I'm assuming that's, you know,
this stipulation.
It'll be, oh, wait, you know, the frosting's, you know, it's on its way with Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah, obviously this will happen at Hell in a Cell.
But
because here. Because it's vacant right now, it feels like now's the chance to be like, you know, we're getting an unquestioning, here is our champion, blah, yeah. blah, here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I will go with... Dandy Ryan. Who's your pick?
You want to say that again in English
no,
there,
no,
buddy?
No, I said it. Dandy Brighton.
I'm gonna stick with my scenario and say Randy Orton.
Randy Orton?
Randy Orton with shenanigans, and then Dandy Bryan comes out
in
Raw.
In that case, I will straight up go Dandy Bryan just so we're split down the middle on all this right. one.
And I will give it 4.5 stars.
Maths. There you go. I say huzzah to that.
All right.
Yeah. So, and honestly, just like the natural feel of this match has me kind of a little bit giddy.
Yeah.
For this pay-per-view, as much as I was ho-hum on a lot of those things.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, that was also kind of like Night of Champions. It was, we weren't really feeling it up until a certain point, really until the match, of the last match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's that time. It's they have pushed the pocket of suck.
Yeah.
Later in the year.
So you're saying this is not the pocket of suck?
It might be.
Yeah. Because
I mean, it's a different
period after WrestleMania hasn't been that bad in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's a different kind of pocket of suck. You know, because it's part of the reason his pocket of suck is so many pay-per-views crammed into.
To the under part of the year.
Yeah, so
instead of the midsection.
Yes. I think.
I don't know where I'm going with it, but okay.
Carry on.
Yep. You okay, buddy?
Nope.
No?
I don't know how to respond.
Are you feeling a little squeamish?
A little squeamish.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack!
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's
your mail sack. We have a special submission. This comes from Zork off of wrestling.insidepulse.com. Zork is a very frequent commenter on Inside Pulse, and he gave us quite a bit to work with. I had to, you know, kind of shape it down and cut out some stuff. Not because it wasn't good or anything, but, you know, just had to trim it some.
Aye.
So, basically, he was talking about how we were addressing Sandow, and how it would be interesting if Sandow cashed in on the vacant title and get involved in Corporation 2.0. He said it would make him look more serious, which is something he kind of lacks to be main event material. They could start playing up a thing like he's a student of the game and Triple H is taking him under his wing or whatever. And I'll stop right there just for right now. And I really have to agree with that statement. And it makes a lot of sense considering, you know, Triple H and Sandow, they're both Killer Kowalski guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, right off the bat. And then, too, we have that story coming out after Raw 1000 last year where, you know, all the DX guys were really big on Damian after he was willing to, you know, pretty much get buried by every member of DX.
Yeah.
So, there's always, there's already, you know, history there. But going on with Zork's comment, he says, he asked, do you guys think that WWE keeps these debut holding patterns up for far too long? The first time I really noticed it was with Brodus Clay's re-debut. Sure, made him look strong, I guess, with him squashing people for a month straight, but after that, it starts to get old. You want to start to see him do something else, struggle a little, just something. We're referring, you know, to Brodus Clay's, his re-debut. Kind of did the same thing for a while. We're seeing it now with the Wyatts kind of doing the same thing after a while.
Yeah.
Fandango, we're not sure what was up with that. And yeah, Sandow seems like he's in a weird, like, he's always been in this weird holding pattern.
Yeah, and it's something we, you know, we mentioned it even earlier on this podcast with Ryback, how it kind of wasn't, you know, went stale.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I've never been a huge fan of the video packages before the debut of a guy. Especially, like, the several weeks out ones.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's, he's coming, da-da-da-da-da. If they were to do something interesting with that, it would have me more invested in the guy. And honestly, the Wyatts did have something more interesting with their previous video packages. Mm-hmm. But
we ended up with the same kind of...
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you go through, you have this generic, like, he's Super Monster Angry Man, which Ryback had, and honestly, which Brodus Clay had, even though he didn't come out as Super Monster Angry Man.
Right.
But
he's still, like, completely demolished in the ring.
Yeah, he's cheerful, happy Super Monster Angry Man.
Right.
Let's see, the right way to debut these guys. Mm-hmm. I get the how long should you keep it? Because you do want, if you are trying to back a guy, right, you want him to come out.
I would say
win his first match, blah, blah, blah.
That pattern of just coming out and squashing jobbers, I'd say do that for a good month. Really? Essentially four episodes, either on SmackDown or Raw. Or sometimes a few weeks, maybe do both. I don't know. And then, after that, go ahead and put him in some sort of feud with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, leading up to a pay-per-view or something. Instead, what they did, like, especially with Ryback, they just had him do the same thing over and over and over. And then they kind of lucked out with him, you know, getting involved with the whole Punk thing. But that's, like, that was the feud that kind of elevated him.
Yeah.
So basically, they just need to try their hand at putting them in a feud with someone who's not a jobber, maybe mid-card. Someone that's actually going to make them struggle so we can see what they look like in a full match. Mm-hmm. That's something we it took forever for us to see that with Ryback.
Yeah.
It took us forever to see that with Brodus. We still don't really have that with Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Especially Bray Wyatt, because he hardly ever wrestles.
He's had the one Ring of Fire match.
Yeah, the Ring of Fire match, and I think he had one match on Raw, and that was it.
Yeah. Honestly, the best debut, and I'm specifically kind of thinking about the Big Angry Monster Man kind of thing, since they like that so much,
mm-hmm.
and their go-to thing is the crush until they take it too far.
Yeah.
The best one I can think of, honestly, was Karma. Karma came out. Karma was imposing.
Well, yeah,
Karma.
That wasn't even a match. She just came out. And
she came
and
out.
Left.
Yeah, but she was very much. She pointed, you know, her hand at this is, you know, I think it was at the Bellas initials that I'm coming after you.
Yeah,
you are my goal right here, right now. And there is this advantage of there's just not as many divas to go around. So you put in.
There's a lot of a quicker line to go through.
Well, you put in one new diva, and that can potentially really shake everything up.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many times you can crush Alicia Fox, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of put them in somewhere where they want something. They're there because of reasons.
Yeah.
And too many people's reasons are, I'm here to be a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
Which is swell and dandy, but
you need to.
You've made it. Like, as soon as you have entrance music, you've made that goal.
Oh, poor Brad Maddox.
He did have entrance music. That's true.
And basically, I kind of view this as the Vladimir Kozlov box. Okay? When Kozlov first debuted way back when on SmackDown, I think, he would just truck through everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through this big, like, winning streak. Oddly enough, didn't get Goldberg chance. Who knew that was possible?
Mm-hmm.
And basically kind of put them all in the box where it was like, okay, well, I guess we have to give him a title shot now against Triple H. And it was a very boring feud. There was no story, and there was a boring match. And after that, they pretty much did nothing with Kozlov afterwards. Because they're like, oh, yeah, he's beaten now. So that was pretty much all we built around him, is that he wins matches, so.
And that's the thing is unbeatable is a character trait that only works until they're beaten.
Yeah.
And
then what?
Yeah, and then you don't have anything if you build too much on that unbeatable aspect of them. So a hypothetical character comes out and give them, you know, the week before they debut, introduce them. Kind of thing. Next week we'll do this guy. Give him a sit-down interview with JR or Michael Cole, I guess now since JR's retired. And just straight up ask them the question, what are your goals in the WWE?
Mm.
And give them, you know, Miz wouldn't sign an autograph for me and it fueled my rage. I mean, this is a bad storyline, obviously.
No kidding.
But it instantly puts them in a feud with Miz.
Yeah.
Miz is not, you know, the bottom of the barrel. My grandfather once told me of the glories of the Intercontinental Championship, and it's been my dream. You're automatically sticking them in the mid-card, in the title scene, not disturbing, you know, the main event. But he still has a purpose, he has a goal, he's there to achieve something.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, like, it's like I was saying, I would be willing to give any newcomer, like, a good month time frame of just going out there and having a match. Not really for any reason, but then after that, you have to do something. Like you said, maybe do an interview, point out something very specific, and have a very specific point from that point forward.
Yeah.
To really build and, you know, have yourself be familiarized with the public.
But in that case, like I really posed to you, is beating, you know, Zack Ryder, who's kind of fallen back into that jobber territory, is beating Zack Ryder better than beating nobody? Do you honestly have more investment or faith in a wrestler who's 1-0 against Zack Ryder versus one who's 0-0?
I mean, a little bit. Like, it establishes, one, that they're some sort of an opposing threat and they're worth the time of someone who's higher up, you know? Because then he just shows up and be like, okay, well, who's this guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I just
thought you gotta have some. I think you have to have some sort of established presence before you move up.
I don't see it.
It doesn't have to be much, especially, you know, if you're going up against someone like The Miz.
Yeah, but see, I think that a honest feud, not even a feud, like a debut match. The guy debuts. He goes against Miz or R-Truth or Kofi or, you know, anybody at that thing. And then even if he loses, even if he loses his debut match, if he has a good 15, 20 minutes, shows us, the audience, what he can do in the ring, I am more invested in him than he comes out and squashes 3MB.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm automatically more invested in that guy. And if you are building Super Big Angry Strongman style of character, and why is it so bad that he squashes Kofi immediately?
I have no idea.
Okay. There you go.
Sure.
I would honestly, and I don't have to fill 3 hours of content every Monday, 52 weeks a year.
Right.
So, you know, jobber matches also do that.
Yes.
So, I'm fair enough. But I would do away with them on terms of just quality and character building and investment and storyline and stuff. Jar matches don't do anything for me.
Fair enough.
And that being said, like, you pit Zack Ryder against another jobber, Curt Hawkins.
Okay.
You pit those guys. One of them has to win. You know, and you build up your jobbers so that they're not technically jobbers anymore. Like, they're still the bottom of the food chain, and somebody always has to kind of be down there at the bottom.
Okay.
But you let the matches that were on Superstars, you let those matches be your filler matches when you're trying to fill up 3 hours of Raw.
Right.
And get a little more invested in these guys, and then when you want Super Big Angry Strongman to come in and knock one of those guys down a peg, it's not as time-filling waste of my time.
Right.
So, that's what I do, I think. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like I just talked.
Sure, yeah. This actually was submitted last week, but we didn't have time to get to it. This is from Twitter, @wrestling_facts. He asked, if Mark Henry falls over in the forest and nobody is around to see it, does he still get injured?
Because Blair would have been able to answer that question last week and not this week, I think we have to say yes.
I say no, but Sin Cara would get injured by proximity. By
proximity.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yay.
This also from Twitter, speaking of Blair, @BDInsidePulse, Blair wants to know, will we see Vince in a major role in Corporation 2.0?
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a little bit of a fan of Vince.
No.
Vince may or may not be my absolute favorite.
Yes.
And so it feels really weird to say this, but we don't need Vince right now.
Mm-mm.
Stephanie's
taking on that really evil.
She's taking on mentality. The evil.
Like, Triple H still tries to kind of, like, at least he, for appearance's sake, he tries to walk the
No, line. He's I'm fair, clearly not being, but, you know, they're not obviously not trying to hide that, but I'd say that I am.
Right.
But
Stephanie's not even trying to put on a facade. Like, no. She's, like, straight up evil.
Stephanie is very much this, I'm evil, but I'm in control. What are you going to do about it? Triple H can take every guy on the roster in the ring, should it ever come to blows.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you kind of feel like that's on the way. So, we don't need Vince.
No.
And that's kind of interesting because
I think, if anything, we'll see Vince kind of bring on somebody to, basically, whenever we get to the point where Corporation 2.0, they're starting to kind of run amok and, you know, things are getting out of control, Vince will have to step in and probably as a face.
He's like, but that, yeah, that puts somebody, that yeah. puts Vince back in face territory, and I don't care for this.
Right? Yeah, I know, but I mean, that's really the only other way I see. Because again, like, they don't need Vince. Like, they had Vince that one moment when, you know, when you saw everyone hold Randy's arms up, and
mm-hmm.
he was the, and we haven't really seen him since.
No.
Because again, we don't need him because his daughter and his stepson are not stepson. Son-in-law. That one. They pretty much got it handled.
Are doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know.
So, will we see Vince in a major role? Yeah. But doesn't mean they have
Because Vince likes the... Because Vince can't stay away.
Right. And, if, like, from what we've heard, is like, you know, they're pretty much suggesting that Vince will be at Raw every week, but they just haven't pulled the trigger because they haven't really needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think eventually they will. But they don't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
Basically, is what our answer is. This comes from Neil. And he's referring to the vacant title situation at Battleground. He asks, what happens in a title match if neither person currently holds the belt, but a disqualification happens? Which is something we might run into.
Yeah.
It's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
With all the shenanigans that's gone on. I don't know. Like, would it remain vacant?
In a, you know, obviously...
Because they always say, you know, titles can change hands.
Via but it's fault. Not changing hands.
But it's not changing hands, yeah. I just assumed it remains vacant.
Yeah, I mean, the first answer is it remains vacant. But in a world where rules are ever fluctuating to bend fit for story...
Yeah, Triple H might just put it on Randy
Orton. Put it on Randy. Yeah. Because Daniel Bryan gets disqualified.
Right.
Which is honestly not a bad way to continue this story.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Daniel Bryan is saying no... Disqualifications do not invoke title changes, but you know they're saying, "Oh no, it does." Here's the rule book and blah blah blah. Mm. So yeah, I think officially and the rules that we go by is it remains vacant, but who knows what could happen? Shrug of shoulders, guys.
Certainly not I.
All right. Is there anything else for you?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. I am good as well. So. Remember, you can follow us at CR Attire on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday to live tweet Raw and appropriate Sundays, including this Sunday, where I think we're doing a delayed tweeting again.
Yes.
All right. Yes, so get all of our reactions to Battleground this Sunday via the Twitter.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you would like us to bring up on the show... send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Fill up that mail sack. Yeah.
We are also on iTunes, so please subscribe to us on iTunes. You get episodes directly to you every single time we put them up. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Maybe write a review. All that would be really appreciated. We love you guys for it.
Totes. And... if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. You might be like Zork, and we'll talk about your comment here on the show. While you're there, go ahead and check out all the great columns that are going to be up this week. I've got an extended view on Battleground and all the matches that it's going to be happening. And also, very new this week, we have our good friend of the show, Jeff Heatherly. He has a new... column going up on wrestling.insidepulse.com called Guys and Divas. Absolutely check that out. If you follow us on Twitter, you know him as BiscuitMan18, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I'm constantly retweeting his stuff. His insight is fantastic and it's hilarious, and I'm absolutely sure you guys are going to enjoy this new column.
All right, and don't forget, we are continuing our way through the WrestleManias. We are between now and WrestleMania 30 next year.
Yep.
We will be hitting every single WrestleMania. This week, it should be up on iTunes right now. We've done WrestleMania 3, the greatest WrestleMania of all time ever, period, the end, according to some people.
Yes.
So, find out if it's according to us, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, remember... the way to get those WrestleMania episodes, you subscribe on iTunes. They will come through the iTunes feed. That's the only way to get those WrestleMania special episodes.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.